out of my journal about over the last 2 months what the Lord's been showing me. And it has to do with this thing of just pressing in to what God wants us, to realize there's resistance, there's going to be a battle, but you just keep pressing into it. As I was thinking about this situation with David and Priya, then I began to reflect on all the other people in our church that are going through huge crisis. I mean, major things. It typically has to do with their health. And these are the ones, and I'm not going to list them all, but just a few of them. I've got, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 families, all typically health-related. Now, we know, of course, Kim Miller and Charlotte, the family, and all that they've gone through, it's just been awful. Awful. But what others are going through is as well with their health situation. Dale Rumsey, I don't know, y'all know Danny Rumsey, his brother Dale, they're part of our children's ministry. But man, Dale, when did he go in? May? It's been a long time. He spent a month in Galveston Hospital, okay, UTMB. They still don't, as far as I'm aware, still don't have a name for whatever it is he has. And he's had to go back at least two more times, something like that, has had to go back for maybe 2 or 3 more days for more work. And they finally did a liver biopsy, and they're coming down to some sort of root cause. But it's just been intense for them, as well as these other people that I've got on my list here. So how many of you would say, and you don't have to raise your hand because it may embarrass you, but it may not if it doesn't, raise your hand. How many of you would say that you are going through an unusually hard season? An unusually hard season. We all go through hard season, but you would say it's unusually hard. Okay? All right. Look around the room. All right. And so these are, I don't know about some of these situations that people are going through. So you look at that. Here's what I know. This is what I know. That God has raised up Willow to be a place of healing. He wants it to be. It is a place. I don't want it to be. It is a place of healing. It's a place where people can go to be healed. Healing, and we go for healing at every level. Amen? Every level. We thank the Lord with Leanne Bartos. Amen? Some good things there. That was hard, though. It was really hard, and she's not necessarily, everything's perfect, but she's better. But that's the thing we pressed in for, and we got some great news with her and her, the restoration, the healing that's going on with her, so we give God praise for that. And so we talk about physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing, every level of healing. We want to go for this thing. We want to be that hospital. What happens in hospitals, you know? There's new birth, amen? New birth. There's a lot of joy in hospitals. There's also a lot of heartache in hospitals. It's a place for healing. It's a place for care. It's a place for rehabilitation. And in most hospitals, it's also a place for training as doctors are being trained or nurses are being trained, whomever. It's a place for training so people can grow up and kind of move on and bring that healing to other places. And so we believe that about Willow as well. And so here's what I think. This is me, okay? It's your pastor. I think since we are pressing into this thing, it's the thing that we've been pressing in for a long time, that is being challenged right now. You see, if we just had David and Priya, that's awful. If we just had Dale, that'd be bad. But I'm talking, we've got 9 people here, 9 families, all kind of happening in relatively the same period of time, about a 3-month period of time. And then other people raise their hands and say, I'm in an unusually difficult season. That is being challenged. That desire to be a place of healing is being challenged. And I believe the enemy is trying to come in like a flood to overwhelm us, to push us back and say, just go back. Don't press into this thing. Just kind of do things as normal. And I want you to turn in your Bibles to Judges chapter 6. This question that comes up, and this is the title of the message, and I don't have any sermon notes, obviously. The title of the message is, Where is the God of Miracles? Where is the God of Miracles? And so you come to the story in Judges chapter 6. Many of you are familiar with Gideon, the man God raised up among the Israelites to overthrow the Midianites. In Judges chapter 6, This angel appears in verse 13. Gideon replies to him. Well, verse 12, the angel says, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you," or "Mighty man of valor, you're a great warrior, the Lord is with you." And Gideon replied, "Sir, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us?" Ever felt that way? "And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us out of Egypt, but now the Lord has abandoned us? He's handed us over to the Midianites." And then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. Go with the strength you have." It's not saying go with your natural strength, the strength I've put upon you, the strength that you have because I'm calling you to this thing. You are that mighty man of valor. You are a mighty warrior. But the question of the hour that some of us have is, where is the God of miracles? We believe in miracles. We believe in pressing in and believing God for the impossible. Then where is it? Now, you got to understand, in this situation, you read in first part of Judges 6, verses 1 through 10, about what's going on in Israel. And the Midianites have come in like a flood. It says, in my translation, they came. There were so many of them, it was like a locust plague. I mean, it was just like locusts everywhere. Talks about all the they would come in, this massive horde. They would take over the land. The Israelites would run and hide in the hills, and they would just pillage the land and starve the Israelites. It was awful. It was terrible. And so God calls out this unsure leader. Like, he's really unsure. You see in Gideon so much fear. This question, where's the God of miracles? He's uncertain. What's God going to do? He fears that. Here are the things he fears that we know. He fears the angel. Of course, that would be natural, I think, if an angel shows up. But he's a little bit fearful of the angel. We find out a little bit later. He's fearful of the call that you are a mighty man of valor. He says, "I'm not that guy. Who are you talking about?" He's fearful of his assignment, which is to take the Israelites and to run the Midianites out, to destroy the Midianites. He is fearful of his father's. He's fearful of his father's family. He's fearful of the townspeople. He's fearful, of course, of the Midianites. He's fearful. The guy is incredibly fearful. What we know about Gideon, the other thing we know about Gideon, I don't know that we see this in any other place in the Bible. He asked God for a sign 4 times, just to make sure. Is this really you? Is this really what you want me to do? Are you really going to give me victory over the Midian? 4 times he asked God for a sign, and God gives it to him every time. What I'm saying, and then the Lord, Gideon then sees the Lord revealed to him as he gets one of the names of God as Yahweh Shalom in verse, I believe it's 24, Yahweh Shalom. It's one of the very few times in the Bible where God reveals himself to people with a particular name, and he reveals himself to Gideon as Yahweh, which means I'm the God of peace. Well, what did Gideon need? He needed peace. God needed to be settled down in his spirit. God looks at this guy, this unsure leader, and he says, "You are a mighty man of valor." A mighty man of valor. What is the Lord's response to us in this hour? When we're saying, "Okay, God, why is all this stuff happening?" What is the Lord's response to us? Look at verse 12. "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." Look at verse 14. "Go with the strength you have, the strength I've put upon you to rescue Israel." You may feel weak. You may feel wounded. You may feel defeated. You may be in the throes of a very, very dark time, and it is awful and terrible, but the Lord looks at you today. And today, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, he looks at you and he says, "You are a mighty man or a mighty woman of valor. You are a mighty warrior. You are a mighty warrior." He says, "Man, I feel weak. I don't feel like much." But he looked at this weak man who was unsure of himself. So he says, "No, I see in you, you are a mighty warrior." And I'm telling you what, some of you, you're war weary, okay? and you're tired and the enemies come in like a flood and it feels like you're starving and being pillaged yourself, but the Lord looks at you in that little place and he says, no, you're not. You're a mighty man. You're a mighty woman. You are a mighty warrior. Say that with me. You are a mighty warrior. Turn to somebody and tell them that right now. Come on. Amen. I want us to say, we are mighty warriors. Say that with me. We are mighty warriors. We are. We are mighty warriors. We are people who overcome. We're not going to give in. Now, as I said, this is kind of testimonial thing. It's what the Lord's been showing me. And so a couple of weeks ago, I was listening to Sid Roth, and I like Sid Roth. You got to take some of the stuff with discernment. That's fine. But there was a guy that's on there. We're going to play this video in just a second here, named James Durham. And James had a vision of how God sees us. And when he saw this, when this vision was given to him, I thought, that's right. That is exactly right. Again, I saw this two, three, 4 weeks ago, something like that. And I feel like it applies to us right now. So I want us to watch. It's about a five-minute clip.
Now, you had a vision recently, and Jesus himself said that everyone has to hear this vision. Well, I'm everyone. Tell me.
Well, it was a very, I guess it was kind of a startling vision, I would say. And I was suddenly lifted up into the presence of the Lord. And I saw myself. It was like I was outside of myself looking at myself. And I was kneeling before the Lord with the left knee on the floor and my right foot on the floor, like, kind of like a knight kneeling before his king. And I was kneeling before Jesus. And I had this, what I call my cloak of humility. It's a really old, worn out, kind of brownish cover. And I really like that because you got to be humble before the Lord. And I was kneeling before him, worshiping the Lord. And suddenly the Lord said, hey, would you like to see how I see you? Well, I wasn't sure because, you know, just like everyone else, I began to think of past mistakes, things that sure. I should have done that I didn't do. And I wasn't sure if I really wanted to see that. But if the Lord asks, I've learned, you say yes. So I said yes. And when I did, the Lord sort of stepped over to the left side and he had a rod in his hand, a staff, and he began to pull that cloak back slowly from the staff. And I was absolutely stunned at what I saw. When the cloak began to come off of me, I was wearing a helmet and full armor like a knight in the Round Table. Mm-hmm. But the armor was gold, and it was pure gold, and it was shining. And I realized it was the light of the glory of Yeshua that was reflecting off of that armor. And as he pulled more and more back, I really got into kind of fear because I do not want to get into pride. Because I think pride will block you from really encountering the Lord. And this, I thought, if I keep seeing this, I might get into pride.
And Proverbs says, pride comes before a fall.
Yes.
I don't want to fall.
Be humble before the Lord and he will lift you up. So I actually asked the Lord, don't show me anymore, and to put the cloak back. And the Lord did what I asked. And this was so startling. And I thought, I can't tell anyone this vision because it will sound too prideful. I didn't even tell my wife that I had this experience. But then the Lord began to press on me that I needed to share this vision with other people because he wants other people to see how he sees them. He doesn't see you for past mistakes, failures, or whatever. He sees what you were created to be. He sees you as if you've already reached your destiny and accomplished your purpose for the kingdom on earth. That's how he sees you right now. Right now, he's seeing you as someone who has already completed that, and he wants you to understand that.
And wait, if that's true, mm-hmm. my experience, and I know your experience is, most people go their whole life and they say, well, I'm not in the fivefold ministry. I'm just supposed to be a parent, a spouse, make money, and die. Mm-hmm. But you maintain that God has a fingerprint that is so unique, a destiny mm-hmm. so unique. Mm-hmm. Why is it most people, if you ask them, do you really know your purpose? Do you really know your destiny? And they're honest, they usually say, no.
That's been my experience. And I think that's why the Lord wants to activate this in people right now, is that we have been, unfortunately, we've been taught in a church that for a long time didn't see the possibilities, but they kind of focused on the limitations. And a lot of things were taught that just really aren't biblical. They're not in accordance with what God intends for us. And as a result, many of us are filled with self-doubt. Some of us are into self-condemnation, and we just can't see or grasp how far the Lord wants us to go or how high He wants to elevate us in His anointing. But in this season, because we're in these last days and because it's a time for the end time harvest, I believe that everybody who is a believer and is spirit filled needs to be activated to accomplish their purpose for the kingdom. God chose you to live in this generation for His purpose.
And I'll tell you what, I wouldn't want to live in any other generation.
Amen. Amen. That's right. It's very true. I like that because it corresponds again with what the scripture says. You are a mighty warrior in the sight of God. Absolutely. Here's what happens though. We get war weary, right? And we get afraid and we think, it's just going to be always going to be this hard or whatever it may be. I want you now to turn to Joshua chapter 1. Again, this is just something the Lord showed me about a month ago. Because I believe that Joshua chapter 1 is for us as a body. It is for us as a body of believers. I also believe this, is that Joshua is the Old Testament equivalent to the book of Acts. I'll get into that in a moment. But what we see in Joshua 1, and the whole book of Joshua, is the advancement of God's purpose. As the people begin walking in their inheritance, they leave the old way. Moses is like a savior, is like Jesus. He was doing most of the work. But now when they enter into the promised land, they are doing the work. Just like in the book of Acts, Jesus in the Gospels was doing most of the work. The disciples were doing some of it, but now the whole people are doing it. Again, a corresponding is that Jesus told them about the promise of the Holy Spirit or the promise of being a kingdom child. But now in the book of Acts, they're living in it. Again, we see that corresponding here in Joshua. And they were seeing the kingdom during Jesus's time. But in the book of Acts, they were advancing the kingdom. And again, that's what they saw. They saw with Moses. They saw God's mighty acts. But now in the book of Joshua, they begin doing the mighty acts of God. So again, I think there's some correspondence that we see between those two books. It is the advancement of God's purpose in the world. Now in Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, You're familiar with this passage. What does he say to Joshua? He's the new leader. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey the instructions of Moses that he gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Again, knowing those promises, that song that we sang earlier, knowing the promises of God, standing on those. This is my command, be strong and courageous. Say that with me, be strong and courageous. Say that out loud, but this time say it to yourself, okay? Again, out loud, but you're saying it for yourself to hear. Let's say it, be strong and courageous. Say it again, be strong and courageous. That is the word of the Lord to you. Be strong and courageous. In this day of weariness and battle fatigue, this day where it just seems like darkness, the Lord's word to you is be strong and courageous. Press through this thing. God sees you as a mighty warrior. Listen, that's what they were. That's what these people were. They were mighty warriors. And when they quit warring is when they ended up in defeat. When they said, let's just put up with these people, these enemies of ours. And that's, you read Judges. Hey, folks, I'll be honest with you. I don't like the book of Judges too much. I'm reading through the book and it's just like, man, this is depressing. Why is it so depressing? Because you see in Joshua the great victory, and then Judges follows, and you see the great defeat. Why were they defeated? They got used to the enemy. They just said, oh, you know, we're tired of fighting. You read Judges 1, and it says the same thing over and over again. They became subdued by their enemy because they just let their enemy remain among them. Tired of fighting. And I'm telling you, some of you here today, right now, telling this to Charlotte and Lewis, to others of you who are going through a hard time, don't quit fighting. Keep pressing in. You are a mighty warrior. Don't let things just sort of stall out and just give up and say, well, you know what? I've been praying for this thing for weeks, months, years. I've not seen any advancement or whatever. Keep pressing into this thing. I want to tell you this. I think that the enemy, in fact, I know this. The enemy is afraid of the believer who knows his or her purpose and destiny. He is afraid, and I'm not saying this is like your job or what you do. I'm just saying my purpose. I am a child of God. I'm advancing the kingdom of God. I know that's what I'm supposed to do. How that is expressed, you know, sometimes we need God to give us vision, but we know I'm a child of God and I'm bringing his kingdom to earth. Listen, the enemy is afraid of that believer because he sees in you this purpose that you are a mighty warrior. As we step forward into God's purposes with the awareness of the enemy's resistance, we need to know, hey, folks, in the end, we're victorious. Amen? We're victorious. We can't assume there won't be casualties. We can't assume it won't be hard. We can't assume there won't be battles. There are. There are going to be battles. There are going to be hard. There will be casualties along the way. But we are going to be strong and courageous because of what? For the Lord our God is what? Is with us. He says to Joshua, he said to Gideon, he says to us today, be strong and courageous for the Lord your God is with you. Amen? I want you to go out today with that confidence. He is with you. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, he's inside of you. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. And the enemy is coming in like a flood and saying, okay, I'm gonna resist you. I'm going to keep you from living out your destiny and your purpose. I'm going to make it hard on you. And the tendency is to say, I'll give up. I'm telling you, stand up. You don't give up. Amen? You stand up. And we fight from a position of rest. We don't fight from a position of just agitation. I mean, yes, there can be that disturbance in our spirit. Well, we fight from in a place of rest because what? Jesus has already won the victory. Amen? He won the victory. His blood gives us victory. His resurrection gives us power. All these things. Amen. I want one more passage. Here's what it's going to be. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55. This is where it's headed. Isaiah 55, verses 12 and 13. You will live in joy and peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. This is where it's going, okay? You will live in joy and peace. Verse 13, where once there were thorns, cypress trees will grow. Amen? Where once it was hard, where it was sickening, where it was dark, fruitfulness will abound. Where nettles grew, myrtles will sprout up. These events will bring great honor to the Lord's name. They will be an everlasting sign of his power and love. Amen? It will be an everlasting sign. Where once it was hard, it will give way to fruitfulness. Now, I want us to kind of wrap this up right now. How many of you would say, just go ahead and bow your heads, nobody looking around. How many of you would say, you know what, I'm just weary? And that's okay to admit that you're weary. That's not a weakness. It's just say, I'm weary. I'm weary of the fight. I'm weary of the fight. If that's you, would you raise your hand? You say, I'm just kind of weary right now. I'm weary of the fight. Okay, Lord, you see these hands. You see these hands. Just keep your hands up because I'm going to pray for an impartation. So, Lord Jesus, I ask right now with these here who are saying they're just kind of weary of the battle that today you would infuse in them how you see them. That revelation that they are a mighty warrior in your sight. Because of what Jesus has done, he has equipped them, he has empowered them, and they stand righteous and pure in your sight. Holy Spirit, I'm asking for that endowment, for that empowerment in their lives right now, for that baptism, that Acts 1:8 baptism. This talks about the Holy Spirit will empower them to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the Samaria, and the ends of the earth. For that empowerment of the Holy Spirit in their lives, as they are reaching out to you with their hands raised up, as they're reaching out to you, empower them today. Let them just literally in their spirit just feel your Spirit touching them, welling up and coming forth out of them. Lord, I pray that you give them new revelation of what the way you see them, and also give them new insight on how they are to approach the enemy, and maybe new strategies and new understandings. Give them wisdom to discernment to make the right decisions. And I also pray, give them courage. Give them courage to stand up against the enemy. You may put your hands down with your head still bowed. I want you to listen to me this. Look, there were, we don't know how many Midianites, 100,000, I don't know, tens of thousands of Midianites. Gideon defeated them with 300 men. That can only happen in the power of God. I'm telling you, you don't have to have a ton of people. You have the Holy Spirit. You need the encouragement of your brothers and sisters in Christ. But I'm telling you, God is going to give you the strength to overcome the obstacle, okay? To overcome the obstacle. When the Israelites came to the Jordan River to go into the Promised Land, it says this about the Jordan River, it was at flood stage. But as soon as those priests touched that water with their feet, the waters dried up and they walked on dry ground. It wasn't just the regular river, it was at flood stage. I'm telling you, God's going to make a way. He's going to make a way, but you got to put your foot out. You got to be like Gideon and be obedient. Get up on that mountain, do the things God tells you to do. Don't grow war weary. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. If you need specific prayer, I don't know if Jeff is still here. Yeah, he is. Jeff and I will be down front, and we want to pray specifically for you through these things. Amen. So let me encourage you again with this. From Isaiah chapter 55, you will live in joy and peace. Where once there were thorns, the cypress trees will grow. And these events that you're going through now, they in the end will bring great honor to the Lord's name, and they will be an everlasting sign to you and to everybody around you of His great love and power. Amen.